Sisters Radio.
Believe it.
Oh, na 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 na. Oh, yeah. Woo! So good, so good. You make me feel so good. So good, so good. Yeah. So good, so good. Lord, you make me feel so good. So good, so good. Yeah. When I wake up in the morning and I see the bright sunshine, when I go sleep at night, I wanna praise you every time. 'Cause you've been so good to me when I was bad to you. And I wanna sing praises to you.
Listen to Care Voice Radio. Oh yeah, let's take a pause for fathers. This is a Father's Day special. Let's just have a moment of silence.
So good, so good. Lord, you mean.
Thanking you for all the hard work that you've done throughout the year. Let it be good. Yeah, you have to represent that this is the year 2021. And we are going full throttle, whether the weather be good, bad, or indifferent. We're going to keep on course.
Make me feel so good, so good, so good, yeah. So good, so good, Lord, you make me feel so good. So good, so good, yeah. What have I done to deserve this goodness that you show to me? What I have done to deserve it, all your kindness, Lord, to me. 'Cause when I was nothing, you made me something. When I was down, you turned my life around. You placed my feet, oh Lord, on your solid ground, and you turned my life around. So good, so good, Lord, you've been so good. So good, so good. So good, Lord, you make me feel so good. So good, so good, yeah. When I wake up in the morning, I see the bright sunshine. When I go sleep at night, I wanna praise you every time. 'Cause you've been so good to me, I wanna praise you all the time. I say you've been so good to me, yeah, I wanna praise you all. Lord, you've been so good, so good, so good, oh yeah, so good, so good, you make me feel so good, so good, so good, yeah. You know, this is Jose Hines, you make me feel so good, Lord, yeah.
That's some good music, good guy, Father. I'm telling you, yes, and great music. Well, 2021, I'm a bit tired, but I just wanted to jump on here and say, and wish, actually, each and every father a happy Father's Day. I know it's not every day that we go through good things as a father. Sometimes we're misconstrued or misdirected or feel abused in many different ways. And there are a lot of different energies and synergies about fatherhood. Because it's not just about you, the individual. It is about you, the person who's responsible for someone else. And, I mean, I always reflect on my own situation. And I've been through a heck of a lot of stuff pertaining to fatherhood. And not everything is always as it seems. You always have to reflect on why. Why do you want to be a dad? And what is your culture that allows you to even want to participate in such a blessed moment? And sometimes you may feel that, I hate to use the word cursed, but it does happen. And it all depends on who you are dealing with as you develop the art of fatherhood. Because it's not just the individual father, it's the person who's given birth to the child that you have to be careful about and who you relate to and how you build relationships. So I guess it's about relationships in general. But as I reflect upon my birth and the journey towards growing up, I realized I didn't have a father. I never knew my father. As a matter of fact, I recall being held by my dad one single time. One time in my whole life. Actually, two, as I visually reflect. And the concern was, well, why is all of this stuff happening around me, about me, that really isn't about me? But then I realized that there are a lot of things that happen prior to my birth. And part of that behavior ended up with me being born unable to speak. So I just want to talk to fathers today who are going through a lot of different things, accusatory statements, blame games, baby mama drama, a whole bunch of different things that we never really want to talk about, really, because of one single word that actually is a characteristic of evil. And I know people are going to say, on the one hand, okay, that sounds good, Aubrey. On the other hand, what else is there? Well, then there's the desire not to have to go through so much trauma, because as a man, when you have situations going on, you're already judged in many ways, and I've experienced that. But patience helped me to be delivered from that in terms of how to cope, how to understand. Patience is a big deal. Very important in the process of time. Now, as I get back to me and review where I've been as a child without a father, I realized I had to craft a course for myself to protect my mental health, because I was one angry kid. I'm not going to lie. If my mentality was not interrupted in high school by a monk who saw that aggression in me and decided to train me in martial arts to help me to calm my nerves and refocus my emotional intelligence, I would probably be dead right now. Facts. Just giving you the facts. I didn't even know the man was a monk. But he dressed kind of weird. And for those who went to my school would know, his name was Mr. Mears. I don't know if he's still alive, but if he is alive, I'd like to interview him and say thank you for saving my life. Now, people listening in and saying, well, martial arts, I thought that was about fighting and killing and stuff. It's about protecting your mental health and creating a healthy lifestyle and your ability to protect yourself if you are threatened. But for me, it was more about calming my nerves, protecting my mental health, and being able to focus. And what was interesting is that it actually worked. And I only took action when I felt that somebody invaded my space and I had to counter. And only if I felt it was a last-ditch decision before I make any strike against anybody, or anyone, rather. I'm going into my little beige in there in a minute. But I recall that the fight took place at a corner shop. I was a little baby. Didn't have a clue what was going on. But I made myself a promise in that moment. I promised myself that if I had children, I would try to be the best dad ever. Well, it worked out like that for a little bit, but not quite all the way, because there were always interruptions. And this is why today, when I speak about relationships, I always say there are always two products in the room. And if you're not careful and have a clear understanding of human behavior, you are going to end up in a very difficult place. It has happened to me. It has happened to people before me. It has happened to people after me. It's happening to people now, especially inside of this year that has gone where people were locked down and came to find out that those two products in the room didn't even like each other. And here you are with offspring that are children and you don't like them either. But that's something that you have to take another second look at. Because it is not an easy topic. It is not an easy conversation. And I said earlier today in the room when I was congratulating people for Father's Day that we need to be able to have uncomfortable conversations about ourselves, especially when we are the accuser or the accusee. I don't know if that's a word, but I like it. It sounds great. I'm going to keep it. But I want to encourage you, men, today, who are fathers and who will become fathers who have no children now, I caution you to think before you leap. It's very important. Because you may see a nice young lady standing there and she tells you she loves you, she cares about you, but actually you're being assessed for destruction. You may have a great job, making a lot of money, but everybody has a model on how they plan to live. And sometimes you will be the scapegoat, so you've got to be cautious who you sleep with and who you lie down with. We all learn through the hard way. And then there's the envy, the hate, the greed, the anxiety, all the other pieces that go along. Hate, envy, greed, anxiety, jealousness, or jealousy, and professional stupidity that lend us or lend its hand in our life to a place where we don't want to be. Conversely, there are the men who plan their work and work their plan pertaining to children. They know specifically what they want, why they want it, when they want it, where they want it, and they join forces with a young lady because it takes two to rumble in the jungle. This is something that has to be discussed in terms of understanding. Now, I worked very hard to try to establish a good rapport, a good relationship. It didn't always work out because, again, people change without notice. And if you understand yourself, like I understand myself and my calling, I don't have any reason to change because I took a long-term scan 40 years ago and decided that, hey, this is who I am. This is why I'm here, and this is what I want to do, and it's a calling on my space and on my life. My first objective was to hang out on the beach, drink a lot of coconut water, eat food, just chill out and enjoy life, and at some point maybe start writing some documents. That was my plan, my initial plan. But that's not how things worked out. What I do to earn a living is directly the result of my calling as a man and as a spiritual man, because we're all spiritual beings. We are affected by how we think. And earlier this last show, I talked about how are you thinking? Now, fatherhood is a standalone program, but you are an individual at the same time. I've heard moms and dads, and I'm focusing on the dads today, but I'm not focusing on the women because this is supposed to be Father's Day, a day dedicated to men who are fathers. And I'm one of those guys. So I thought for a moment I didn't feel like getting on this day because it's a hard day for me in general. You know, when you have children, you expect them to outlive you. And when they die, Father's Day becomes a kind of a feeling that you can't shake. Especially when you were close to that child. But if not for the others, you could chill out and make excuses. But you have to try your best to be the best father you can be. And when you're in the middle of that, trying to do your best at that, the children start to accuse you of things that are not true, not real. That's what happens. And you don't get the opportunity to have a word in edgewise, as the folks would say, because they are committed and convinced that you are the problem. when it requires a duality, a relationship and a conversation where you communicate and not just not in your head, but an understanding and confirming that you agree to agree with what we're both talking about. That we understand sincerely each other. This whole conversation goes back to the first father of mankind as we know it. The conversation between God and Adam in the Bible in Genesis. If you're a part of the 29 billion people across the world who believe in Judeo-Christianity, you will relate. And if you're not, you will still relate because you'll say, things that make you go, I've experienced that kind of behavior in my life and I don't understand it. It's a vitality element that you have as a dad where you know, let's say, for example, your name is Aubrey, but you're a dad. So the standalone piece goes along with that's a functionality of your existence now. I remember one day my brother gave me a ride to work. I was about maybe 14. And he rode a Vespa. And he said, "When you go to, now that you're going on your way to school," he was the replacement for the father that didn't have, because he was the oldest brother. I had respect for him. So I would listen to him. Sometimes. Not all the time. And we'll have another conversation about that later. But he said to me, you know, when you're going to school, make sure that you try to learn as much as you can because you're working for you and your family. And I said, "But I don't have a family." And he said, "Well, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the future. If you don't go to school and learn well now, you will not have the tools to equip you to be a good family man." And he knew what he was talking about. I said, "Okay, that's new. That's interesting. I didn't think of it on that level." But years later, you grow up, you get married, you're in a relationship with someone else that you felt that that's the person that you want to be with. And as a part of the protectionism of your mental health, be careful to recognize that you have to realize no matter what the race, creed, color, or nationality, or spiritual origin of the person you live with, they are subject to change without notice. Especially if they don't understand the length, width, and depth of their current value aspiration in the universe. That's what happens. So we can't quarrel with them all the time. We can't quarrel with ourselves. But we must capture the imagination and to recognize that God had the same problem. If you look into Genesis, you'll find, you should just read it just to read the book. It's a really interesting, insightful book, and I would not have told you if I didn't start reading it a long time ago. But the beauty of me reading it is that that was a secondary read because my grandmother, who lived to 108 years old, was reading it every single day way before I even understood what she was doing. That was the one thing that I could see that she would do. And she was sitting in the second chair as my father, because my mother wasn't even available for that at that point. She was the go-to person, the person who I hung out with, person who I spent time with as I grew in stature. As a matter of fact, she's the one that nicknamed me, as you will, Joel. That's what they called me at home. And I said, as I grew up, I said, "Well, why did you name me Joel?" She said, "Because that's the book that you need to read. That's who you are. You can handle anything." And I'm like, "That's a tough call, Gran." But I loved her. I appreciated her. She taught me many different things. How to plant cane, plant vegetables, what cassava was good and what cassava was poisonous, how to make starch out of cassava. This is the kind of life that I came from. And she was the one that loved my father, my physical father, more than anybody else in the world. Until he became extremely destructive. Then she had to cut him off. But anything that happened in my life, she stood up as the father And if she couldn't handle it, my older brother, the firstborn, stood up as a father. And when he stood up as a father, sometimes I didn't even know. If you mess with me, he'd go behind my back and make sure that you understood, do not mess with my brother. I only found out later in certain instances. But he was committed to keeping me alive. That's the truth. As I grew, I found out that my father had other kids, and it became my mission to go back after I migrated to the United States to make a personal call on my father. And when I found him, he was not in the best condition, not the best shape. But I wanted to know who my offspring was, and I met him, Michael. Happy Father's Day to you too, brother. And all the other guys that know me and that are listening to this show, I don't want to forget to tell you, Happy Father's Day. But what I learned in the process is that he had gone through difficulty too. So you see, when you're going to check the pulse of who you are and try to understand the history of your family, you're going to discover things that you would not have normally wanted to know, but you cannot personalize it because you weren't there. You're just gathering intel for the future generations to come so that they will understand who their great-great-grandfather was, what they stood for, how was their health, and migrate that along the line so that your youngest child in the now would understand the history of his family, the history of his father's family, and the legacy that superseded him or her. Got to keep it balanced. So tonight I want to encourage men to know that it is not what you're going through that matters. It's how you manage the equity within you of understanding your own value. Learn how to manage your emotional intelligence inside of circumstances. Because, and this goes out to the black man more importantly, because I'm a black man. I don't know how to be a white man. So I'm telling you my experiences. And I want you to know that when you're growing up, they said you get into a relationship and you say, that's my woman. That's my man. No, it's not. You're in a relationship, which means, let's describe that. Let's break it down. It means that you relate to each other and the hope is to ship out and build a bigger conversation utilizing love. Now, before you can get to do the dance to become a dad, you have to have feelings for the person. Hopefully. Not every scenario as to why you are here is a result of kindness. And I speak the truth because at the end of the day, as we say, you may have been a planned event or an accidental tourist. I didn't think I was a planned event based on what I heard that transpired before me. And I respected, as I grew up, that understanding because now I know for sure that I'm not responsible for where I come from, but I am indeed responsible for where I'm going. Facts. Fact. Fact. So I had to behave cautiously. Every day as a father, we're out here on the street and we're fighting our mindset because we feel disavowed economically, disavowed as a human being, period. It's not an easy road. Then you get angry. Things are not working well at home, usually. Or there's some kind of confusion that you don't want to talk about because you think your neighbor is going to see you differently or your friend is going to see you differently. But hey, guess what? You don't know. They're going through the same thing you're going through. It's just the method of understanding what embarrassment looks like in your culture of indifference. It is only when somebody breaks out and say, hey man, you know, this is what's happening, and you have a conversation, you say, really, that's happening to you? Man, I didn't know that was happening to you, but you're acting like everything is so good. No, it's not good. They're usually challenges, man. But I can only say to you in this season and in this moment for this reason. Number one, clear your head. Relax your mind and clear your head so you can understand who you are when you become the accused. It happened to me. It has happened to me on more than one occasion. And I had to address my history of anger in terms of, am I willing to do that again? No. Because you learn from your previous experience that the other person in the room that cared for you then, you have to know that when you are in a relationship as a man, many times more than not, if you are being disavowed with a person that you're with, they already left you. Check the pulse of the behavior in the then before aggravation showed up and the now. And they may stay. Matter of fact, what I'm saying is there may be a stranger in your house. So as a father, you have to know who you're around. As a father, you have to understand that when the emotional aspect of your relationship with the other person is over, you have to try to handle it. And you're disavowed in many different ways, and so it's hard to get an ear. And I do understand that. Again, it has happened to me. And I'll tell you more about that, and I'm not pitching my book, but I'm telling you, I am putting stuff out here in terms of chapter and verse because it will give you a reference point to go to and perhaps you will be helped. And I know many of you listening will agree with me and say, Aubrey, man, you are on point. But sometimes there's no other course because everyone out here, as a father, you have to go and you have to provide the opportunity for food, clothing, and shelter to be acknowledged in your life and the life of the child that you're responsible for. Whether you're in a separate home or a different home, you want to have that give and take. And again, the system may want to make you suffer unnecessarily. And I'll talk more about that another time, but not now. Today, this is the 20th of June, 2021. I believe that as you're a father, you train up your child, educate them with what you know, and when they're between the 18 and 21, you want them to leave because they're supposed to be fully grown and knowledgeable. And that's not always the case. But this is the year 2021. Anno Domini, in the year of our Lord, 2021. We all know that the earth existed for billions and trillions of years. But this is the calendar we manifest. And that we have all types of rules and regulations and laws pertaining to as we grow for 2,000 years or more. So we celebrate Christendom within the spectrum of 2,000 years. Or many other religions that have gone even past that. But I submit for your consideration to double check your emotional intelligence. If you have been disavowed of love, like I have been, learn how to love. Learn how to love, like I've had to. Sometimes I love too much. Sometimes I go way outside of my portion of responsibility in loving, because within love, patience still exists. And patience allow you to succeed in your growth and development because you get to see what's happening when you're managing your emotional intelligence and you're being patient. And as I close, I want to leave here with this song because I was talking about the black man. Edwin Yerud, Crossfire Barbados, and his crew did a song called I Am. I think it belongs in every household in the Caribbean and globally. I already have it. You all can get it. I'm not pitching for him, but listen to the words of the song as I close out this show. Let's go. Whoa. Thank you for joining us. We're out of here. Enjoy your Father's Day. Continuation.
Carry Voice Radio.
Believe it.